Really appreciate the chance to see him again, and also the brother, sister Lane being here. I still haven't spotted John. I don't know where he's at. Different ones that are here with us, Carl and the wife from California. So glad to have those folks here with us, their little ones. And just appreciate so much you being here with us. Still have our brother and sister from over in Tennessee. I hope she's feeling better tonight. That's wonderful.
Praise God.
I want to read from one or two passages of Scripture tonight. You know, the Lord has been good to us. We have problems. Seem like we have as many or more than anybody sometimes, but the Lord is always good to us. And we're always getting real encouraging letters. I noticed today we got a number of letters from our TV programs and radio programs, and it's always encouraging. I pray a lot of times for the people that are here, and while I'm praying for the people that are here, I'm praying for those that are out yonder that are listening to the radio broadcast that's receiving our printed page and our tracks around the different parts of the world. And my heart is encouraged when I realize that we're doing a little bit. I think of the great job that there is to be done and the strenuous task that we have in our world outreach for lost souls, not only as an individual but as a body of people, not just considering the people of Little Bethlehem but those that are Christians everywhere. And it really gets next to you when you think about the tremendous stress and strain that goes along with trying to win souls. But like the Bible teaches, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. There's really no spiritual birth unless there's a travail. There's nobody born into the kingdom of God unless there's some effort. And trying the way we have and trying to reach out, it has been quite an effort. And yet, seems like we've done so little. But I think about what would have gone undone on the little that we have done had we not made an effort. So I thank God for the effort, and I trust that Mitch is still working. I don't see Mitch tonight, but I trust that Mitch is still working on our translations. If everything goes well with the new avenues that we got, we should have 70 or 80 foreign translations around the world in different languages. We got quite a number of them now, but that should up it a good bit. And we're grateful for the radio programs that we have across the nation now and the TV programs, and especially for our printed page of tracks that's going out. We're real grateful. But you know, that all of that, to those that are out there, doesn't suffice for the need on the home front. There is a tremendous need on the home front. And here in our last service, I think some of you had a chance to see, or that is the last service that we were in with you, I think you had a chance to see the displeasure of God when we are not diligent and when we are not really activated with the Spirit of God and show concern. So here on the home front, we need a real diligence toward the things of God. You know, somehow or another, because God has blessed us with the deep, wonderful mysteries of Christ, we get in a spirit of lethargy, or we get to a place to where we feel like that because we know and understand and are able to see that we are somewhat different and better than somebody else. That's a great mistake. You know, that's the mistake that the Jews made, and that's the thing that always overthrows a person, is when they get to the place to where they feel that they are better off in the sight of God than someone else. The Bible teaches that we're not to be high-minded, but we ought to fear lest God should cut us off. And knowing the great revelation of Christ and the way that it's been revealed to us and the mysteries that God has shown us, we should be ever so grateful and feel so deeply indebted to God that we should have more diligence than any other group of people anywhere in the world. Now that's the way I feel. And if we don't have that kind of attitude, I feel like there's something wrong with us. Whereas a lot of times we get the idea that we've received something because of our diligence, when the Bible tells us that we can receive nothing except it be given us of God, it is just the mercy of God that we should have anything that anyone else doesn't have. It isn't any special thing that you and I have done or anyone else have done. It's just God's grace on us that we should find ourselves in such circumstance or blessing. So then we should be ever so grateful, and we should never at any time take on a spirit of carelessness or unconcern and come here with a spirit of lethargy. Come into the house of God without a real diligence and a real drive and a real concern. Have you really loved Jesus tonight? Let me see your hand. We should have a real love of God tonight, a real diligence and a real concern toward the things of God. Now I want to read just a little bit from the book of Isaiah. Maybe one or two places I'll read tonight and talk to you just a little bit. In the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the first verse, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none; for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arms brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto him that turned from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. In the 61st chapter, the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. I want to go over to Ezekiel for just a few minutes. The book of Ezekiel. I believe it's about the last chapter of Ezekiel. Check just a minute. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ezekiel with me. In the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay some new upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet as an exceeding great army. You know, Ezekiel, I guess, was one of the most powerful prophets of his time and dealt more with the Word of God, I suppose, than most any of them when it came to the Spirit. It seemed like that he was always being moved by the Spirit or taught something by the Spirit. And it's such a wonderful blessing to read the book of Ezekiel and see the way that the Lord used Ezekiel. The Lord spoke, and he said in one place, he said, prophesy to the false prophets of Israel who prophesy out of their own spirit, saying, thus saith the Lord, have ye not seen a vain vision? Saying, the Lord saith, howbeit I have not spoken. Whereas the Bible said, O Israel, thy prophets are foolish, he said, foolish prophets that have not gone up to make up the gap. And he said, they are like foxes in the deserts. They've seen a vain vision. They prophesied of their own spirit. Will I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and they'll not be written in my book of remembrance, he said, when I make up my people. But he said, prophesy. And when he told him to prophesy, he said, prophesy the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anything that thrills my soul, that is the one thing that really thrills me, is when I consider that God said, prophesy the word of the Lord. If there's anything that I love, it's God's word. I've spent my entire life with God's word because God's word means everything to me. Prophesy the word of the Lord to these prophets. If there's anything that we need in the day that we're living in, it's the word of the Lord. It seems that people everywhere are prophesying everything. But the one thing that they need to prophesy is God's word. And I believe that when we come to the place to where we can take God's word as the absolute of our life and nothing else, when we seek a foundation to stand upon as God's word and nothing else, when we lift up our voice as we say, like a trumpet, to speak God's word to the world and all that's about us and nothing else, then, beloved friend, we're going to see God's spirit begin to move. It's not until you lift up God's word that you see the moving of God's spirit. God's spirit cannot move except God's word be preached. The reason is because the Bible said in the beginning was the word. The word was God. Jesus said the same word that came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. That same word, Jesus said, is spirit and it is life. Therefore, if God's word is spirit, how then can God move unless it is God's word in our midst? As long as my mind is programmed with anything outside of God's word, there isn't going to be any blessings in my life. I can do many things through life. I can plan my future. I can make a lot of money. I can put things together, as the world says, I can get my head together. I can have everything set in order the way that I want to set it in order. But there's one thing, and that is, to my shocking amazement, someday God will meet me face to face and let me know that his plans are not my plans. That his ways are not my ways. That his thoughts are not my thoughts. But if I follow Christ, if I follow his will, if I follow his mind, if I follow his word, if I do what God tells me to do, beloved friend, there will be a great superior power, a strength that will enter into my life and into my heart. And I'll feel the power of motivation that will move me into the wonderful things of Jesus. And God will lift me up, and God will strengthen me, and God will help me in all that I undertake to do. Because what I do will please God. This is my desire. Prophesy, prophesy, thou son of man. Prophesy. What shall I prophesy? The prophet said, prophesy the word of the Lord. Amen. This is what we need to do, is prophesy the word of the Lord. Why is that? Because the word of the Lord is sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord has been tried and defended. The word of the Lord came forth, put on flesh, and the word of the Lord, as the human body, went down into the flame of the fire. And the writer said, now then, I counsel of thee to buy of me the raiment that's tried in the fire. I counsel of thee to buy of me that raiment. There has never been but one raiment. That was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the word of the Lord. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel, and take the shield of faith and put on the helmet of salvation. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the wedding garment. And should anyone come in without that wedding garment, the Bible said they will be bound hand and feet and then cast into the outer darkness. You know, I was thinking about this supper that we're going to have this coming Sunday. Our brother Richard the Jew and Melissa is supposed to marry, the first wedding that we will ever have in the church or that we've ever had. And I wouldn't have it if I didn't feel that God had to do with it. Having to do with the marriage of the Cana of Galilee. Watching the great revelation and a brother here. All of a sudden, a great spiritual thing begins to take place in our midst. And we look around us and we see this great, wonderful thing taking place. God bringing to pass something that's outstanding. And here are the restrictions that we hold for the church, in that people aren't allowed to come in here just in any manner in the church. They have to have a form of decency. And people being outside on that night when we have the supper, and some of them no doubt will attempt, as they have in the past, to come in. And when they're stopped and not allowed to come into the house of God, it'll be such a beautiful thing showing those that don't have the wedding garment that's not allowed into the supper, in that I know for sure that his marriage has to do with Almighty God and has to do with the revelation of the Almighty God. That is the exciting thing of my life, is to know that God is in my spirit and God is in my life. And that even now and here and wherever I go, that God is moving me. And as Paul said, moving by the revelation of Christ Jesus. Moving and being motivated by the living God. I watched when we left here the other night. Everything was so perfect as we left. Betty and I, we left going up to where we went to and the place that we went to. And the Lord spoke to me, and I thought, God, this is so wonderful. This is so magnificent, the thing that you're doing. And I thought, now a certain thing for sure will happen to us. And I watched and I waited and I said, now this thing must happen. Because a few nights before I had a vision. And in this vision I saw a certain thing. And when I came within the areas of this certain thing that I have on my mind right now, I knew that had to do with the vision. So then, the very next day I saw the vision come to pass. God so wonderfully brought the vision to pass. You know, that's enough to get excited about, isn't it? To know that the Spirit of God is upon you. Hallelujah. I don't know of anything that's greater and more thrilling than to know God's Spirit is with you and God's Spirit is upon you. For the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon the prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet, and the prophet spoke. spoke. And the prophet prophesied, and he said, "What shall I prophesy?" He said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye prophets of Israel." Oh, glory to God. Today is what we need to do, is to hear ye the word of the Lord. If you're not hearing the word of the Lord, you need to hear the word of the Lord. If you've never heard the word of the Lord, you need to hear the word of the Lord. We make our mistakes so many times because we try so often to do things without the Spirit of God. But don't you know that we can't do nothing without God's Spirit? We can't do anything without God's Spirit. It takes God's Spirit. When we have God's Spirit, then we can do great and mighty things. But without God's Spirit, we cannot do anything. You know, Jesus testified like this, said, "It is not I that doeth the works, but it is the Father within me." And he said, without God, I cannot do anything. Without God's Spirit, without the Spirit of God, it takes God's Spirit. I've seen a lot of great men in my lifetime. I've seen them try to bring healing. I've seen them try to bring deliverance. But I've never seen them bring it except by the Spirit of God. I've never seen them be able to bring it except by the Spirit of God. Somebody had to believe. Something had to happen. God had to move. And then came God's Spirit and something took place. Always when God's Spirit moves, something begins to happen and something begins to take place. I saw the wonderful things of God. I've been in the Oral Roberts meeting when the Spirit of God would move and I would see things take place. I've been in the Allen meeting and I've seen the Spirit of God move and I've seen things take place. And I've been in the Brother Branham meeting and I've seen the Spirit of God move and I've seen things take place. But I've been in all of those meetings when God's Spirit didn't move and nothing wouldn't happen. And I've heard all of those evangelists have to stand and confess that it wouldn't happen because it had to be God's Spirit. This should make us feel so little and so insignificant, seeing the need of God's Spirit, seeing how much we need God in our lives and God's Spirit in our lives and God's Spirit in the church. This was the thing that I was speaking of the other night. The other night when I was here, oh, the revelation of God was flowing through my breast. Like a stream down across the mountain, coming down through the valley, the wonderful revelation of God was flowing. And my heart was enlarged, and I wanted to scream out the revelation of Jesus. The present day revelation. Things that are happening right now. And as I saw the lethargy and the unconcern, my heart was torn within me. No, as the writer said, when he came into the city and he saw the city so moved with idolatry, his heart was stirred within him. And I thought, God, where is the concern? Where is the hunger? Where is the thirst that we need? Like the Lord said to Brother Branham one time, he said, "Go west." He said, "Your people won't feed." Don't you know, it must have been heart-rending. It must have been stirring. It must have torn him. Because he longed as the word of God moved, as God's word moved in the prophets there to Israel. They had such a longing, such a stirring, such a moving. They wanted to tell the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's so wonderful. You say, "Brother Pike, why do you get so carried away? Why do you get so tore up? How can you keep from getting tore up?" The word of the Lord came unto them. What is the word of the Lord? Jesus said, "My words are spirit. My words are life. My words are life." The whole world today is looking for life. Isn't that right? They spend millions of dollars on medical research. Scientists do. Why? They're searching for life. Also, searching in other planets. They spend millions of dollars. What are they looking for? Life. But see, here we stand as the people of God. Here we stand as they that have God built. We stand as the Victorians of Christ, who hath the words of life. But, oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. He that hath the word of the Lord shall live on. He shall live on. Oh, glory to God. I feel that going through my soul. How could I be help but be stirred on the inside when I feel that run through my soul like a river, like rivers of living water out of your innermost being shall flow. Waters, rivers of living water. And the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God, my cup is running over. You know, the water spout of God is man's soul. Isn't that right? David spoke of the deep calling unto the deep. My heart, this is the deep well of God. In your heart is the kingdom of God. Inside of there is the deep wonderfulness of God. For God inhabits eternity. And the Spirit of God searcheth out the deep things of God. And out yonder something deep is calling. Oh, something deep is calling to that which is deep. Hallelujah. I brought it out in Revelation the other night, what the deep was calling to the deep. And that at the water spout of God. And brother, when the deep calls to the deep at the water spout of God in Brother Pike's heart, out of my innermost being come those rivers of living water. For out of the wells of salvation you draw water with joy. Isn't that right? So then he said, prophesy, O prophet of the Lord. Prophesy, Ezekiel. Prophesy, thou son of man. And what shall I prophesy? Prophesy the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. America, hear ye the word of the Lord. What should we hear today, preachers of America? The word of the Lord. What should we hear today, preachers of the world? The word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of Christ today. That's the thing. That's the answer. The words of life. There will be no man that can save them in that day. There'll be no philosopher. There'll be no orator. There'll be no great man for that day. No man shall save them. There'll be no dignitary. There'll be no celebrity. There'll be no preacher. There'll be no great statesman. What will then save them? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what is the word of the Lord? He sent his word and healed them. By his word, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And in the beginning, when God came forth and created heaven and earth, the Bible said, God looked, and the earth was dark. It was without form. It was void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And as God's Spirit moved over the face of the deep, God said, let there be light. And beloved friend, there was light. And the Bible said, God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day. And he called the darkness night. And the Lord saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The first thing that God does when he sees us from that old Garden of Eden experience, when he sees that old intellectual veil of death that comes down through our powers of education and will worship and all of these things, as he sees that veil of death fall over us, God looks down and he sees us void of understanding and void of the likeness of Christ wherein he created us. And then God sees darkness upon the face of the deep. And then Paul said, let there be light. Oh, let there be light. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. And the Bible said unto them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death, great light is spring up. And the day spring from on high hath visited them. The Bible said, until the day star dawn within your heart, the revelation of Christ, Christ the Spirit, Christ within you, the hope of glory, springing forth within your heart. Let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. And brother, the Bible said, when these things come, ye shall not be desolate. If these things abide in you of godliness and patience and all of the fruits of the Spirit, you won't be a barren tree. People are able to feed from you. If I have temperance and patience and godliness and long-suffering and kindness, brotherly kindness, then I'm not barren. Against these things there is no law. I will become death because law cannot come against me. Law cannot have dominion over me. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no death. Then I can boldly say, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Oh, death, what's happened to you? Jesus said, I've conquered him. I've conquered death. I've conquered death. I have destroyed him that hath power over death. I've destroyed death. And the veil is rent in twain. And the veil is rent in twain. And as I said the other night, as Rebecca came across the desert, the veil still over her face. But oh, beloved friend, when she walked into the presence of Isaac, when she went into the secret places of the chamber of the mother, the veil was rent in twain and the death veil was taken away. And as Isaac reached out to embrace her, oh, hallelujah, there was no more the middle wall of partition, for the brightness of the light and the radiance of God that was shining through began to penetrate. I will destroy the man of perversion with the brightness of my coming, with the mind of Christ, with the revelation of Jesus. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, you need to pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation and the brightness of the greatness of God as it comes to you will eradicate the veil of death and it'll fade away into nothing. As the sunlight that hits the snowbank on a warm sunny morning, all of it will vanish away into nothing. And there as the veil of death moves away, you will be able to see. Oh, hallelujah. As we said the other day, somebody was speaking about the hair of the woman. And we spoke of the covering of his glory. Oh, the covering of his glory. If we once again can understand and find the covering of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful thought it is. What a wonderful consolation it is for Adam and Eve that lost the covering of the glory all because of disobedience. But when we find that covering, when he said they cover with a covering, but not with my covering. But when we find the covering of his glory again, we're not ashamed anymore. Hallelujah, for hope maketh not ashamed. For the hope of Christ Jesus within you is the hope of glory. And the hope of God maketh not ashamed. For where is death? Death is swallowed up in victory. Where is the veil of intellectual reasoning? It is no more. Where is that that stems from the tree of knowledge? It is gone past. It isn't there anymore. It's taken away. How is it taken away? With the wonderful touch of God and the glory of his embracing as he draws us, we say, nearer, nearer, blessed God, to thine ever bleeding side. Prophesy, O Son of Man, prophesy, prophesy. And what shall I prophesy? The prophet said, prophesy the word of the Lord, prophesy the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, for my words are spirit and they are life. Prophesy the word of the Lord. And so the word of the Lord came unto them. And he said, Ezekiel, do you believe that these bones can live again? Oh, Lord, he said, thou knowest. They're so dry, I can't say, Lord, I don't know. But, Lord, you know. He said, Ezekiel, you've got one mission, son, that's all. I commission you to prophesy. That's all you got to do is prophesy. Glory to God. I tell you what, we might not be able to figure out this and figure out that. And when we look at the bones, we say, my God, America's gone and the world's gone and they'll never be able to have another revival and nothing will ever happen. But God said, prophesy. He didn't tell you to try to figure it out. He just said, prophesy, thou son of man. Prophesy the word of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. You say, but the bones are dry, Brother Pike. But you listen to the radio. You listen to the TVs. You read in the paper. And are they prophesying the word of the Lord? Are they not vain prophets? Are they not foolish prophets? Haven't they seen a vain vision and prophesying out of their own heart? Aren't they like the foxes of the desert? Have they gone up to make up the gap? They're prophesying out of their heart. That's why there's no moving of the Spirit. Amen. But beloved, you cannot prophesy the word of the Lord. You cannot prophesy the word of the Lord without God's Spirit moving. When you prophesy the word of the Lord, hear ye, O Israel. Hear ye, O Israel, the word of the Lord. The Lord thy God is one God. Just one God, and his name is one. Hallelujah, and salvation shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Like a lady, she wrote, I believe it was yesterday, we got the letter today, whenever. She said, oh, Brother Pike said, I got so much out of that TV program. She said, I really got something out of it. Said it was filled with the Spirit. She said, and it was so different. Said, they come on now and said, it's always a talk show. Said, but you wasn't talking. Said, you was preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I heard a message. I heard a message. It's coming to me by the airways. Said, I hope you're Jesus' name. Oh, I hope you're Jesus' name. So that message was wonderful. Talking about the message. She said, I hope you're Jesus' name, because I was getting the Spirit of God out of there. Praise God. How could you be a Christian and not be Jesus' name? The Bible said, them that are called by my name. Amen. God will hear from heaven and heal your lands. There's salvation in none other name but Jesus. They were first called by the name of Jesus, or that is Christ, at Antioch, because they were Christ-like. So then we see this wonderful thing that God's doing. Have you got time just to listen just a little bit more? What then should we do? Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. You know, scientists are foolish, isn't that right? A lot of preachers, they'll take science and they'll try to make science fit the word of God, and they'll work the word of God and twist it around and get it in a knot, trying to make it substantiate science. But brother, sister, there's only one answer for that. Paul said science, falsely so called. So if you don't know what science is, it's falsely so called. The word science means knowledge. It's a false knowledge. They're ever learning and never able to come to the truth. They're so foolish with their theories. They theorize today, as we say, one thing, and tomorrow they theorize another thing. And they get you out on a limb today, and tomorrow they change the whole thing. Whereas their doings are so foolish. But the word of God is the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Something that's been proven down through the many centuries, down through the ages. And I thought about science and their foolish theory of evolution. Darwin's theory of evolution. How foolish. How foolish can people be? You know, to believe evolution, you got to throw your Bible in the garbage. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, well, you can work them both together. There ain't no way. Somebody said, well, you can work both of them together, Brother Pike. You know better than that. Ain't no theory of evolution going to work with the Bible. You say, how is it that the Bible's going to offset the theory of evolution, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said that God made every tree and every herb of the ground to grow. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Said, and he made it to grow before it was ever in the earth. Somebody say, amen. I said, he made it to grow before it was ever planted in the earth. He didn't drop it in the earth and it done this and that and this and that and come up. He made it as it was. He didn't make man evolve from a tadpole. He made him out of the dust. Just like he made a tree, it was a tree when he put it there. It was a blade of grass when he put it there. It was a man when he put it there. And they take this nebula mass theory. You know, scientists speaks about the nebula mass being out here in space, and it gets its whirling. You know, the sun, and here she goes, 1, 2, 3, and off goes Mars, and off goes Jupiter, and off goes the earth, and around and around and around she goes. Foolishness. You say, can you prove it? I certainly can. If you'll check up over there and see what day God made the lights, you'll find out the earth was already here and the heavens was already here before you ever set the moon and the sun in the sky. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah! God said, prophesy, thou son of man. Don't prophesy science. Prophesy the word of the Lord. What does the word of the Lord say? Scientists falsely so called. The mind of Satan, the deception mind of Satan, millions are going after it. And millions will go into the flames of the fire. But oh, my brother, sister, when you hear God say, let there be light. And when you see God plant the grass that he has already grown up, and the herbs and the trees, before he ever bothers to put a light in the heavens. Isn't that something? And then God divide the light and the day or the night. And God separates one for another. And after 3 or 4 days, he said, we better do something about this light system. We better do something about it. And oh, look at the nebula mass theory go down the drain. What is it? We've got to choose God and we've got to choose science. The Bible said, choose ye this day whom you'll serve. Whose side are you on? Moses said, everybody's on my side. Come on. Like William Travis at the Alamo when the battle got hot. William Travis said, you better make a decision, folks. If you're going to get on this side, you better be ready to do something. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, this is a wonderful thought, isn't it? A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, we could just find our way back to the garden. If you know the way, you can find your way back. Isn't that right? You know, naturally speaking, it isn't really that bad anyway. Is that right? The Bible said that coming up out of that garden, there, the garden that God put in the east of Eden, there, coming up, there was a river. And the Bible teaches that it headed up out of that garden. And out of that garden, and we brought out the revelation of what these rivers mean not so long ago, but out of that garden went forth these four rivers. And the Bible said the river Pison going down around the land of Havilah, where there's gold, delian, and the onyx stone compassing this land about, that we see this was running from the garden. And then the next river, when we look over here and see Gihon coming out, that goes around the land of Ethiopia, compassing the whole land of Ethiopia. We see that this was coming out of the garden. And then when we see Hiddekel, the river that's coming down, that's going to the east of Assyria, we know that this is coming out of the garden. And then one that we all are familiar with, the great river Euphrates. The Bible said it was coming down out of the garden. So then we know that these rivers are still there today. We know that they're running from one direction. And we know that wherever the head of that river is, that's where the garden is. Because the Bible said that's where it come up at. It's got to be in that place. It couldn't be in another. What is it? God has hid it. God has hid it, but it's still there. Though the flaming cherubs of God are still guarding it. Every way to keep the tree of life. But oh, my brother, it won't be long until God will lift the veil. That veil that's over your eyes. You cannot see it because God hid it. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, Adam and Eve, ye shall surely die. What is the death? The veil of darkness that hides you from the light. And you cannot find your way anymore. But brother, sister, the Bible said this veil remaining over the face of the people. In the reading of the Old Testament, this veil remaineth unto to today. But this veil is taken away in Christ. When you receive the revelation, the veil fades away into nothing. It fades away into nothing. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of our Lord and Savior. The veil being lifted for the moment that they eat their eyes. He said, you know, the old serpent more subtle than any of them. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I wish we had time to preach tonight. But the old serpent more subtle than any of them. You know, he said, hasn't the Lord said you can eat out here of these things? And they go, oh yes, she said of all these things. But said of that one tree over there, he said, you don't want to bother that tree. He said, well, why is that? He said, well, when you eat of that tree, you'll die. Oh no, he said, oh no. Isn't that just like the devil? Now, isn't that just like the devil? How do you know that was the devil talking? Come on now. How many of you know that was the devil talking? You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that was the devil talking? Because snakes don't talk. Beasts don't talk. That thing was making conversation with Eve. Somebody say, I love Jesus. More subtle than all of the beasts of the field. Isn't that right? It was more subtle. It was talking to her. You understand what I'm saying? Can you listen just a little bit? It was more subtle. What was it? See, he said, now, God knows that the day that thou eatest of that tree, you're going to be like gods. And folks, that's where the secret is right there. You're going to be like gods for the day that you eat of that tree. Your eyes are going to come open. And you're going to know good and evil. God knows that. God sure did know that. That's true. He did know that. You're going to be as gods. You say, Brother Pike, are you sure that God knew that? I know that God knew that. Satan quoted the word of God to Jesus, word for word. God knew that. How do you know that God knew what he said there? Because God, just a little bit later, said, now that man has become as one of us, one of us who? Gods. Now that he's become his God to know good and evil, he said. Said, now lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. That is, we better do something. We better get him out of here. The devil's done got into man, and he's done got control of man. If he gets to that tree of life, why, the devil will live forever. He'll keep that man alive forever. And as long as that man's alive, I can't do anything, and the devil can live in it from now on. Said, we better get him out of here. Is that right? Now I want you to look at this for just a minute. How many of you know that Adam was made out of the dust? And I'm not going to get on a long, extensive thing because I'm just getting started to preach. It would take a good while to preach. You know that. Paul took all night just to preach the sermon. I say that so often. But just a word or two now. I'm going to say just a word or two here. Just a few words. If you'll give me just a few minutes and I'll close. But I want to get a thought over to you here. How many of you know that Adam was made out of the dust? Adam was just as much dust as anybody is dust. He was made out of the dust. That means that garden was put in the earth. You say, Brother Pike, that garden wasn't in the earth. It was in the earth. Because the Bible said that God made to grow out of the ground every tree and fruit and whatever Adam could enjoy over there. But there was one other thing. It doesn't say that the tree of knowledge grew out of the ground, nor the tree of life grew out of the ground. That's where the difference comes in. He just said he put them in the midst of the garden. Are you listening? Whoever heard of a tree growing out of the ground growing knowledge? Whoever heard of a tree growing out of the ground growing life? Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's where the difference was. See, Adam had a great opportunity. He was both spiritual and natural. Not by birth, but by creation. That is, I said a while ago, he was in the covering of his glory. The Shekinah glory of God was upon Adam and Eve. Not born of it like you and I are. We could never sin against God. There's no way. Because we're not overshadowed with grace. We are literally born of God's Spirit. On the inside, we are born of the Shekinah. Satan could never entice us out of it. We have eternal life. But they were overshadowed with eternal life. They didn't have eternal life. They were only overshadowed with the Shekinah. They could be enticed out from under it. Now, look at it. When that covering left, old Brother Paul, in receiving the revelation, said, ladies, from now on you need some long hair. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Paul got a revelation. Started preaching on the hair. Somebody said, now what's that got to do with religion? You'd be surprised. No wonder the Catholic Church cut all of theirs off and put a veil over them. When they shaved all of it off and put it over, you know why they did that? The Bible said if a woman's in that kind of condition, it's all as if she were shaven. Isn't that right? And why did they put the veil over? That dark veil indicated the veil of death. It's just been the last years that the Catholic come out with a white covering. Isn't that right? The dark age, that was that carnal mind from the fall in the garden, that tree of knowledge, that intellectual reason, that carnal mind of death. She had that covering over her. He said, you need some long hair. Why? Because the government's on the shoulders of the church and you need it down here on your shoulders. The devil will make you bob it up, pin it up, curl it up, twist it up, do anything. Isn't that right? To keep it from being down on the shoulder. Why? Because it symbolizes the church. And the authority of the husband is down on that shoulder, which is God, the husband of the church. Isn't that right? So then the covering of the glory. And here it was all of a sudden. He led them out from under it when it was. And they come, and the Lord come along and said, Adam and Eve, the cool of the evening, where are you? Where are you? Oh, Adam said, I hid. Why'd you hide? What's wrong? Said, well, we were afraid. And I went over there and then sewed him some aprons out of the fig leaves, you know, had a little covering on over here. He said, what's the matter with you, Adam? Well, I was afraid. He said, well, why was you afraid? He said, well, I was naked. But he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree I told you not to eat of? He knew that they had. What else could it be? It was shame. Shame had struck the heart. Hope maketh not ashamed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But they did not have the hope of that glory. Because the day thou eatest out of thou shalt surely die. Condemnation hit them. Their faith was gone. And they couldn't believe in his covering and his glory anymore. And his glory had separated. And there they stood in shame, contempt, standing there. And the only thing they could do was seek a covering from the trees. Isn't that right? God said, oh, that won't do it. You're covering up with trees. See, there's water, blood, and spirit bears witness in the earth. You're trying to cover up with a water covering. I can't make no covenant with you like that. You can't never have a covering like that. Oh, water can't cover up human life. There ain't no way it can aid life. But water can't do that. You didn't listen to a tree. A tree didn't tell you to do that. You eat from a tree, and that's why you grab that covering and put it around you. But a tree didn't tell you to do that. A tree is not your master. But God said you listen to a beast. It'll take blood to cover that life. And the Bible said he put them on coats of skin. It'll take a beast covering. From now on, you'll be a beast in the earth. You'll walk as a beast in the earth, and you'll no longer have the image of God. You'll never have the image of God no more. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, we're made in the image of God. I say again, you mean God's big, God's thin, God's tall, God's fat, God's old, God's young. Somebody say, I love Jesus. My brother, it's the image of the beast. You say, how do you mean that? The Bible said we know not what he'll look like. We don't know what he looks like. If you're in his image, why don't we know what he looks like? You lost that image when Adam left that garden. He was no longer the Son of God. He fell from that garden. Oh, I wish we had time to preach. He fell from that garden. He lost the image. What was the image? The covering of his glory. Christ. Christ is the covering of his glory. For he walked in the tabernacle of Jesus. He tabernacled in the body of Jesus. Moses put that veil over him, which was the veil of the covering of that glory.
And that covering, which was the flesh of Jesus, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And he said, if you try to get into the supper without that covering, you'll be bound hand and feet. That's why he said what he did to the ladies. The Catholics cut it all off to show the harlot in the earth, she don't have a covering. She don't have a covering. It's all it is. You were shaven. But my brother, that veil of darkness they put on shows that death is over him. But you're not like that. And you ladies that wear your long hair that shows the covering. The Bible said you ought to have power on your head because of the angels. You say, what do you mean power? Did you know that when a man goes into the presidency that he has power? Authority. A government is a power. And that power, that authority is hanging down on your shoulders for more reason than what? You need that authority on your shoulders because of the fallen angels. Did you know that? You need that on your shoulders because of the fallen angels, because they regard that as the covering of his glory when they see that typical thing in the earth. And the husband's control over you, lady. You're supposed to be under the husband's control. He's supposed to have the authority over you, not you over him. That's perversion when a woman rules over a man. He is the head. You're the members. God's the head. Church, you're the body. And that government's over you. It's on your shoulders. See, and that head, that husband is controlling you. How when you reject his control, you're committing harlotry. For the woman can be saved only through the man. The Bible said she shall be saved in childbirth. She even goes far enough to call her husband Lord. And she's saved through her head. Hallelujah. How do you know that Christ was saved through God, that is Jesus? And how do you know that man is saved through Jesus? And how do you know that woman is saved through man? So then, that covering, you cover with a covering. But it's that old tree of knowledge covering. It's that old educational system. It's that old image of the beast. It's that skin, coats of skin that God put on you. But it's not my covering. But I make a covenant with you. I make a covering with you. I make a covenant with you, beloved friend. I make a covenant with you. I make a covenant. I take your blood and I put it back under the covering cherubs on the mercy seat. And I make a covering with you. Oh, I make a covering with you. You love Jesus? I wish we had time to preach. I make a covering with you. But let me tell you, I know that we don't nearly have enough time to go through this. I didn't intend to get into that. I just intend to touch a few things on the word of the Lord. But how can you preach the word of the Lord without getting into Revelation? So broken up without taking your time and going through it. But I want you to understand something tonight. That veil that is over you has to be rent. It has to be rent. If not, you will abide in darkness. It's over your face even until today. The death veil is still over you, beloved friend. But when you come to the marriage, Rebecca came to the marriage, and out went the loving hands of Isaac and embraced Rebecca. And as it did, the veil went back. You know, they had to wear the veil before the man because it showed shamefacedness. Shamefacedness. See, we should be ashamed. In his presence, why not? But hope maketh not ashamed. When we get a hold of him, our hope of glory, the veil goes away. And we can lift our head again. Hallelujah. Because we are one with him. He is ours and we are his. Brother Taylor sings that song, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. You believe Jesus loves you? I want you to stand with me. We're just getting started, but we're going to have to stop here. Paul saw the great light on the road to Damascus, and a voice spoke to him, and the Lord said, go over to the street called Straight if you want to get the scales off your eyes, if you want to get the veil. Oh, Paul, you think you see, But oh, my son, the scales are over your eyes. The scales of death are there. It just took the light to show it up. Go over to the street called Straight. Get interested in the name of the Lord. And the man said, Paul, be baptized in the name of the Lord. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith in his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved. Isn't that right? You say, Brother Pike, then God did not send his Son to condemn us. He certainly did not. But I'll tell you one thing God did do. God sent his Son, beloved friend, to condemn sin in the flesh. Did you know that? He sent his Son to condemn sin in the flesh. He didn't send his Son to condemn you, but rather that you might be saved. But he sent his Son to condemn sin in the flesh. If you're guilty, then God condemns that sin in the flesh, because he speaks of sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. Because you're covered with a covering. And he's got to change that old terrestrial and bring on the celestial. Did you know that? He's got to unveil you. And the Bible said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, there is another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, the only thing about preaching, of course, I have preached several hours or more without stopping, but the only thing about preaching is there just ain't enough time. You know, people are tired and weary, and there just ain't enough time to preach a sermon anymore. Now, you can exhort, testify, tell of an experience, but to really preach a God sermon, there just isn't enough time. The people are restless and tired and weary, and Satan's worn out the saints of God. But, oh, beloved friend, remember one thing. There is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, you pray that God grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Read in the book of Revelation in the first chapter, the first verse, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which shortly must come to pass. The revelation, and Paul said, the revelation was made known unto me. And there is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need to come out of the veil. You may belong to the church. You may be very intellectual. You may know many things. You may be intellectually smart. You may catalog many things. But the Bible said, my words are spirit and they are life. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. The word of the Lord is a revelation. For God hath at sundry times and divers manners spoken to us by the prophets. Whereas in this latter day you have greater opportunity, beloved friend. For he hath spoken unto us in this last day by his Son Jesus. He has spoken unto us by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, his Son Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that guides you into all truth and righteousness. For they all shall be taught of God, God on the inside of you. And ye are the members of the body, bone, flesh of his flesh. Ye are the mouthpiece of God, members of his body, speaking one to another and speaking to the world. God speaking to the world by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking, for ye are in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ. Whereas he said, pray that God will grant repentance unto life unto them that are without. For ye are interceding as his body. So then, the voice of the Lord is teaching us today. Even the minister, it shall not be him that speak, but the voice of the Spirit. For it shall be God that speaketh from within his temple. Let all the world keep silent. Judgment will begin at the house of God. And according to the faith that you have in the voice that you hear, your sins will be remitted and your sins will be retained. For whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whosoever sins they remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins they retain shall be retained. For they have the power to smite with the blindness. As Paul did, they have the power to curse. They have the power to bless. For whoever they bless is blessed. Whoever they curse is cursed. Will ye not be afraid, seeing that these are the ministers of God set in the earth for the vengeance of God to bring judgment upon them that do evil? But if you do that is good, they're set there for your blessing, for your benefit, that they might bless you, that they might help you. Let's sing this little chorus together. I want to say again that we appreciate you. I didn't mean to get into a number of things tonight that we got into. I didn't have no intentions of getting into that. Because I know on Friday night, usually I don't have time to clarify things like that. And I try to get into that. If I get into it on Sunday morning, when you're fresh and got a lot of time. But I didn't know how to say what I was saying without saying those few things. But having the messages on tape in a sermon, not so much in bits and pieces as it was tonight, you can always relate back to it. Go back there, take it and unravel it. Pick up the message that we preached on the covering of His glory and some of the other messages and understand more clearly what I'm saying. But brother, sister, I say this from my heart. There has never been a day like this day. No, never. Never in the history of mankind. There has never been a time like this. Never been an hour, never been a day. There has never been such an enlightening. No, not even since the world ever was. Great men have desired to see what you see. Even men that have gone, even great men that are gone, past, there are things being seen today that they did not see. There are things that Paul did not see, and Peter did not see, and Elijah did not see. There are things that Brother Branham did not see that you are privileged to see. There are things that Brother Jack Coe, great man, give his life to God, but he did not see these things. Alan did not see them. Many other great men did not see these things, and yet you see them. It stands to reason the best wine is for the last. And it stands to reason that as you finish up, the farther you go, the more that you understand. That's the Bible. You're supposed to do that. It's understood that men 1,000 years ago did not know as much as the men of today. Men 2,000 years ago did not know as much as people 1,000 years later. Nor people 4,000 years before did not understand. I know they've got their weird theories about all this thing of what they knew before the flood and all of that. I know they got those weird ideas. I know that. I can hear the spirits and those kind of things, but that's not true. The Bible don't bear that out. That's just like science, those wild things about science. And some of them talking about there was a world before this world, you know, and some kind of wild notion about. Somebody said, well, Brother Park, what are you going to do with the Bible where it says God said, replenish? I said, what do you mean? They said, well, the Bible said multiply and replenish. I said, well, what are you talking about? They said, well, if he said replenish, then that meant there must have been a world before. I said, no, all God was saying was I plenished when I put Adam and Eve here, and now you do the replenishing, that's all. He did the plenishing. And he just asked us to do the replenishing. That's simple to understand. We the reproducers. People get weird ideas, folks. And Satan, he'll help jack you up, get your mind tore up to where the devil will have you asking such foolish questions. Let's sing this chorus. I keep saying we're going to sing a chorus. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? First, let's sing this little song, There's Room at the Cross for You. You'll have to pardon me for drinking this water like this, but as David said, my cup's running over. I know you must be hot and sweaty out there, because when I preach up here, I usually get soaking wet. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross
for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, many years ago, when I started searching and looking, I was so disappointed. I was so tore up. And I prayed and I fasted and I sought the Lord and I counseled and I talked to ministers and I listened and I went to meetings. And then I almost despaired and said, Lord God of heaven, it's all in vain. I know that you give a lot of things and all these kind of things, but Lord, what is all of this about? I said, Lord, I understand that this whole thing is about life. You said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. The word abundant means filled up and overflowing. That we might have the fullness of life. And you're the Prince of Life. And I thought, well, God, we're not getting life. We're of all men most miserable in this world because we cut ourselves off from worldly things while they frolic. And the Lord said, if ye in this life ye have hope only, ye are of all men most miserable. But we have a hope in another world. We do not weep in this world when we bury our loved ones as others that have no hope. They have no hope beyond the grave, but we do have a hope beyond the grave. And then I began to talk to the Lord, and I said, Lord, there's one thing that I want to know. How do you keep from dying? I said, I don't care what I preach. I don't care what I discover. I don't care what I know. If I discover mystery after mystery after mystery, Paul said, my much revelation. I said, that still don't suffice. What about dying? I said, the thing about this is supposed to be the answer to death, life. I said, we're supposed to have the answer to life. What about this thing? I said, we're still dying. And all of these things, we're still dying. People still die. I said, there just ain't no way, Lord. There ain't no way to find it out. There's no hope of ever finding it out. But the Lord said to me, keep searching. Keep searching. For if you search, Solomon said, you'll find the knowledge of God. He said, there's a way, my son. There is a way. He said, you can learn the secret of life and death. You can. God will give it to you. There is a generation that shall receive it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. And you know what we teach about the first and the second death and the sleep. And oh, the Lord took hold of my heart. And then I found it. When I was about to despair, when I was fixing to quit, when I was fixing to give up, all of a sudden I found it. And my cup runs over. And my life has been a joy and a jubilance and a thrill. For why not? Why shouldn't it be? All of the entire world, from Adam on down, has looked for it. But beloved, we found it. We are the ones that's found it. All of them look for it. And they search diligently for it. But we are the ones that found it. We are the ones. Why shouldn't we rejoice? Why shouldn't we be happy? When everybody has to go to the funeral home, when there has to be a casket both for young and old, when young and old alike all have to die and they put them in a box. Rich and poor, great science, intellectual, great doctors may help you. But the same doctor that gave you a pill or operated on you that you feel might have added a few years to your life, if you stay around, you'll go to his funeral or you'll read about it in the paper. Because he'll go the way of all the earth. So then, there's something else. We've had a lot of things in the world, but beloved friend, there's something else. There's something else. We need to keep searching. Keep looking. And you know what? That's what thrills my heart. I found that something else. I have found that something else. Hallelujah. Just when I thought there was no hope, when I thought all hope was gone, as the songwriter said, I found that something else. Can you sing that again? There's room at the cross tonight. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. I want you to come tonight. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I want you to come tonight. Stand around just for a few minutes as we sing. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, you gather around the altar. We stand here before the Lord. Well, as we know that the real altar is within our heart, we know that. We know that there's only one real altar, and that's within our heart. For the Bible said, "Ye have better altars than those that's spoken of the Old Testament of the beast and the blood that was spilt upon the altar. Ye have better altars, for ye have the blood of Jesus in your behalf." The blood still prevails upon the mercy seat. But oh, tonight, you that have heard us speak of the blood coming off the mercy seat, and you that know the revelation and know where it's standing right now, it's a sad moment. It's a sad moment. It's a very sad moment. But as we gather around to make a rededication, to have a reconcern, to love the Lord, to fellowship anew in the Spirit, you want to live, don't you? You don't want to die. You don't want to die. You know, you want to keep this body alive. We talk about serving God in the Spirit. That's good. I'm for that. God is a spirit. But beloved, the Bible said, be holy in body. Because there is a bodily redemption also. There is a bodily redemption. What we're looking for is the redemption of the body. Be holy in body and holy in spirit. For I'd like to present you blameless, the writer said, body, soul, and spirit. I'd love to present you blameless. You want this body, don't you? The purchased possession is the body, the earnestness of your inheritance. There is a bodily redemption. Jesus came forth from the grave in the body. That's what we're interested in, is the body. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Reckon yourselves to be indeed dead by the body of Jesus. Therefore, if your bodies are dead by the body of Jesus, then you are not active in your body anymore, nor in the world anymore.
For your spirit has gone back to God who gave it. For when your bodies were buried in the name of Jesus in a watery grave, your spirit went back to God who gave it. And today, the Bible says you are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring, the restitution, the millennium, the restoring of all things, the great millennium day of rest, the redemption of the body, Revelation 19, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first resurrection. You are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the day that you enter back into this body and become active in this body. For he that belongs to the Lord hath mortified the flesh with the deeds, the lust, the affection thereof. But that spirit that's hid with Christ in God longs for fellowship with this body. But beloved friend, we've got to live holy, not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, but we should obey it in the lust thereof. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, even to the intent of the heart, David said. Redeeming the body, the outer courts. Redeeming the outer courts. God is trying to help you. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to do something for you. What a glorious moment. What a glorious hour. What a wonderful moment. Living right now at the time of the change. For behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. From mortality to immortality, from terrestrial to celestial, from corruptible to incorruptible. For when this mortal has put on immortality, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass that saying, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, beloved friend, what a privileged people you are. What a privileged people you are. Though you may not see tonight, you may not fully understand tonight. But oh, how wonderful it is to understand. I see tonight. I understand tonight. For many years I didn't, but I'm thankful that I do. And I'm so happy, so at rest, so grateful. How wonderful it is tonight to be with Christ, to be at rest, and to know and to understand. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes together. Your body tonight is the purchased possession, beloved friend, to wit the adoption or the redemption of our body, to wit the adoption. You know, the bar mitzvah at about 13 years old with a Jew. The bar mitzvah. You know, you become a recognized son. You're already sons. John said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. Doth not yet appear so far as the redemption of the body, what he shall be like, but it is coming in Thessalonians chains. We shall be like him, but we shall see him as he really is. And everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself by that faith in God, or hope of glory, even as God is pure. But that bar mitzvah, that recognized sonship of authority and power with the Father. It is a wonderful moment right now. A wonderful moment right now to be able to come to that place. We're approaching the great bar mitzvah, the purchased possession, and the manifestation of the glorious sons of God. Oh, beloved sons of God, great men and women of valor, as the angel stood off at a distance and looked at Gideon and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, thou beloved man of God, the angel said to Daniel, sons of God, God's own darling children. Oh, how lovely, how beloved, how wonderful to be sons of the great King, prince and princes of the great King of heaven, priest and kings to rule and to reign with God. And I say again that ye shall be kings, not just children of the Most High. For he hath made us unto himself priests and kings, and we shall rule and reign with him. For he, the King of kings, shall have many kings to make him the King of kings. For sitting around the throne, the 24 elders were kings. And he said to the disciples, when I sit upon my throne, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, 12 kings. And the kings of the earth shall come into that great city and bring the glory of the nations of their following to pay tribute and to give honor to that great God of heaven. Kings in our midst today, some of you are kings and great leaders that will sit upon thrones. Great men of God that have gone on, some of them are kings that will bring their glory into the great city as they rule over the earth, and the great followers of God bring the glory of his people to him. Oh, beloved children of God, you're children of light, not of the veil of darkness, not of misunderstanding. That day will not come upon you unaware. You know when it's nigh even at the door. And it is nigh even at the door. It's nigh even now. Even at the door now. Even at the door now. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. But it's nigh even at the door now. You're not children of darkness, but children of light, that day should come upon you unaware. The wicked shall not see when good cometh, but you see, you understand, you know. While we hold our hands up and close our eyes to worship, rededicate your life again, rededicate your heart again. Ask the Lord to come in one more time. Can you do that? Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my hands to heaven tonight. For I ask of thee, O great heavenly Father, Hallelujah. In the wonderful name of your darling son Jesus, Father, tonight, I pray that your great spirit would meet with us. I pray that your great power would be with us. And I pray that your great love would be upon us. May every person be healed tonight. May every person be forgiven tonight. May every person be delivered tonight. May every person receive the blessings of God. As I feel your spirit, Lord, as Peter spake to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling upon the people right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh God of heaven. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost falling on the people, Father. Now I feel your presence falling upon the people. They came and they were blessed, Holy Father. May they be healed and may they be blessed. Oh, dear beloved Father, tonight, give us strength and blessings in the Spirit. Give us the love of God. And oh, Lord God of heaven, this coming week, bless our people. And Lord, as we go away to New York to the meeting there at Staten Island, oh, mighty God of heaven, may the great light of the Almighty God come down in Staten Island, and may the people of Staten Island be entreated, and may the great Spirit of God come upon them, and may they be healed, and may they be blessed, and may they receive the engrafted Word of God, O Lord, and believe. Father, bless us, Lord. Bless all that we're doing. Oh, dear beloved God, bless us. Bless us in the Spirit tonight, Heavenly Father. Father, bless the voice of the ministry as it goes out over the radio in the islands. Heavenly Father, Lord, throughout Puerto Rico and Hawaii and the different places, may the great voice of God reach the people. And may they hear even till the end, unto the ends of the earth. Oh, dear beloved Father, as you speak, Father, to heal and to save, Lord, to forgive, help us to do some little something in our own feeble way, Heavenly Father, for the great cause of the great and mighty God of heaven. I ask you to do it in the lovely name of Jesus and for your glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing another little chorus together before we dismiss tonight. I know I've kept you a good little bit, but let's just worship just a little more together. Can we? Well, come from the east and the west. Sing it with me. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Can you sing it again? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar.